Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Who are you going to get, Someone help me here. Who what are was, you going to get? What I'm, was, text, I'm sorry. No, I'm nuking the show. I'm sorry. I can't. Should have been fired 2 months ago. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that you think's going to turn it around?
Well, who do you have? Yeah, who do you
Mick
have?
Cronin.
Yeah, you know what? You can't afford him. That's why he didn't come. No, like, everyone is just making it seem like immediately, like, you kick Kenny Payne to the curb, and then you bring somebody in here, and he's going to have them, like, a Dark Horse Final Four team.
He just answered
And everything.
You back.
I feel like, hang on. The higher the expectations. That's fair.
He says the cake is burnt, bro. You're just waiting to change your mind once he's finally gone. Love him up. While he's here.
That's cool. And if it works out... I, like, then, you know, I don't want him coming back and eating my cake.
Boy, poor.
You know Nick's not kidding, though. He doesn't want people eating his cake.
No, he doesn't.
Why does Nick sound like he's in space?
I was also wondering that, too.
He did sound like he's in space.
Of Nick Balboa.
In space. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. I'm James Strebel. Max Gobby joining me today. Tanner Brutamesso as well. I want to remind you about our good friends at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. 27 area locations. Walk-in, drive-through delivery. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. That's Louisville's go-to liquor store. Check out the wine, the beer, the mixers, and more. Every Wednesday, buy three, get one free cigar. And go to CoxLouisville.com to see what they have online. Your neighborhood liquor store, that's Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Rolling along here on a Monday. Instead of back and forth of the texter, that all they do every day is just text in the show and just tells how awful and stupid we are. And so I was like, you know what? Just don't listen. I'm like, you listen anyway. If you hate the show so much, why do you text into the show almost on a daily basis?
Why do I continue to watch The Acolyte?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of rage watching.
Exactly. A little rage. Maybe they rage listen or whatever. So that's fine. But if you don't like it, that's fine. We have plenty of other texters and listeners that enjoy what we do here. So there are other options out there. This isn't communism or socialism. We're not making you listen to this. You have options. It's America. It's freedom. So yeah, there we go.
I just love then don't listen. You got it.
Yeah. You got it. Fine. I'm totally okay with that. That's not gonna hurt my feelings at all, one bit. All right, let's continue on with football here today as we continue. Now, Phil Steele, he releases his magazine. This is the time of year we get Athlon and Phil Steele and all those football magazines, Max, that go out there. Did you ever, I have a question, because in the media, when Athlon or Phil Steele drops their football magazine report, it's a big deal. Now, yes. I'm not one of those people that go out and buys it. I just don't. There's free content about it on the internet. I just use that.
Just a leech.
I'm a leech. I'm a mooch. There's no getting around it. I'm frugal. I'm saving money. Those things are expensive. So I'll just read on Cat's Paws or WDRB, whatever it may be. Now, was it a big deal for you guys as players? Did you pay attention to any of that? Was it like a badge of honor to make Phil Steele's All-American list?
I mean, I knew I was never going to be on it, so it's just like... No.
So no one...
Maybe for like Bud.
It's probably a big deal.
Bud Dupree, Larry Wolf were probably a big deal there too. Yeah, they were probably mentioned on the list, but for you, you're like, yeah, I'm not paying attention.
Dude, I was just scrapping for spot on the depth chart. I was just happy where I didn't have to look at the Cat's Paws anymore to know, all right, I know I'm playing. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. I know I'm on the rotation. I'm in the rotation. I know I'm on the team. I'm starting. I'm good to go. Well, he had nine, and it's a pretty high number. He had nine Wildcats on preseason lists, okay? And so he has for Deion Walker, second-team All-American for defense, Berion Brown, second-team All-American for special teams, for his kick returning, not for wide receiver, but for his special teams workers, kick returner, SEC All-Conference team, Deion Walker, first-team on defense, Berion Brown, first-team special teams, Maxwell Harrison, first-team defense, Dane Key, second-team offense, Lamon Dumas Johnson, second-team defense, Eli Cox, third-team offense. Derek Jackson, third-team defense. Marcus Cox, fourth-team offense. And J.J. Weaver, fourth-team defense. So Kentucky, very, very well represented on these lists. And normally, if I see a lot of Kentucky players on lists like this, Max, I get pretty pumped up and excited for the season. I'm like, oh man, we have all kinds of good players here. We are well represented in a national publication, but this isn't giving me much solace to just how I feel about the season as it approaches. I hate when people say, and it might be true, and I'm not saying it can't be true, but the narrative and the notion, we might have a bad record, but we're better than the record. You know what I'm talking about? Like we could be a good football team and have a bad record. And while I agree with that to an extent, I was like, well, if you're a good football team and you have a bad record, then that doesn't really mean you're a good football team. That's just my perspective, and I understand why people say it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's true in any sport. I mean, you look at Florida baseball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, their record says that they're an awful baseball team. I think they were two games above 100 or above 500 before the SEC tournament.
Right, that's a good point.
And
yeah.
They look how well they're playing, but you also look at the teams that they were playing as well. They played a gauntlet of schedule.
Yes.
You look at the perspective. I mean, I'm not bringing it up for just the sake of the rivalry, but look at Kentucky the past 2 years, and you look at their schedule going into the Governor's Cup.
Right.
At both times, 6-5, and it looked like a wounded SEC team, but it still had the dogs and still had the manpower to be able to still win the games.
Sure.
Each time against the top team, especially last year, someone playing in the ACC championship.
Right.
So there is great logic behind that of saying that the schedule. Now, last year's team should have been at least 8-4.
I agree with that.
Should have been at least 8-4. But if you had not even a garbage offense, if you just had an awful offense, just an awful offense, you're 7-5. Right. If you've got a bad offense, you're 8-4.
Sure.
It's easily. You win the bowl game.
Yeah.
You win the bowl game if you just have a bad offense.
Sure, yeah.
And so I think with this team, especially with this layout of how the SEC is moving forward, and it's not cope, it's not coping, it's not copium.
Copium.
It's not that. You look at this schedule, I think it's the 10th most difficult schedule.
That sounds about right. I know it's top 10. It might be even top 5, depending on what publication
it's
you're looking at.
Gauntlet. It's a gauntlet of schedule because you Yeah, so it's a really egregious schedule, especially after you are trying to kind of build some offensive, you know, consistency. Maybe
right.
With
and
Bush
you can't.
Hampton.
Yeah,
maybe
you haven't been able to.
Maybe
we're gonna
maybe
try.
He stays for stays for 2 years to build some consistency. We'll see. I don't know. Little asterisks there. Maybe.
As many jobs as Bush Hampton has had. I'm hoping for 3 seasons. If he's good.
Dude,
if he's good.
I'm hoping for half the season.
Well, that's a great point.
Ohio State calls midseason, and he's like, I'm sorry,
coach, I got to go. Leaves Ryan Day called me. I got to go. He's battling Lou Holtz again. He needs my help. But I understand what you're saying. I do.
It doesn't make you feel good as a fan.
Well, that's the thing. There's no solace in there for me as a fan. Because I'm looking at it, and I'm still saying, okay, yeah, I know Georgia is a bruiser. Texas, going to Ole Miss.
Georgia's not a bruiser. It's a gauntlet. It's a guillotine.
It's a guillotine. Absolutely, again, you're going to get your head chopped off when you play Georgia. It's going to happen.
It's four horses tied to your appendages. That's what it is.
That's quartering.
You're drawn quartered by Georgia.
Yeah, you're going to get quartered by Georgia.
You're
going to get quartered by Georgia. I believe
there's
that's quartering.
There's four quarters. You're going to get quartered.
All right, hold on a second. Let me see. I have to make sure now this is the correct medieval torture.
Sorry, is that one not good enough? Or maybe just good old-fashioned just gutting?
No, I'm just making sure that it's actual.
Do we need to be accurate when it comes to Georgia at that point?
Quartering torture. I just want to make sure it's the right kind
into
of torture.
I want to be school laptop.
Hang and quartered, to be hanged and drawn and quartered became a statutory penalty for men convicted of high treason in the kingdom. Okay, so I don't think that was. So what was the torture?
I know
what you're talking about.
William Wallace, that's what Georgia is.
Yeah, so what? Now William Wallace was quartered. He was quartered. What's the torture where you... I know what you're talking about. They tie your appendages up to the horse.
Horsey pull apart.
When they do horsey pull apart, that's what... When you play Georgia,
they play horsey pulled apart.
You get horsey pulled apart. But, I mean, it's no solace when... Yes, Texas and all these teams are going to be good. But you're sitting there and you're like... It just feels like you knew seasons like this were going to happen. It makes you look back and think, why didn't we capitalize when we could have capitalized? And this Kentucky team's going to have good players. They're going to have good football players. They're nationally thought about. They're being ranked. They're being talked about going into the NFL draft, especially Deion Walker. Like, there's going to be good players in this team, and it just may feel like another wasted opportunity where you had these players and you didn't really make anything out of it, but it's not really their fault because the teams you're playing are so good. It's a catch-22. It really is.
It is, but I think you're going to get to a point now because, again, we all know what's about ready to happen. We talk about torture. That's what the SEC and Big Ten are about ready to do, and it's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And your favorite team is soon going to have a schedule like an NFL team, meaning the record at the end of the year is going to be either 8-4, 9-3, 7-5.
Well, that's the
thing.
Each
and every one of them. Now, the days, I think, of just having an undefeated team, I legit believe are just going to go to the wayside.
You could be right because there are going to be such murderer row schedules that they're like the remove. Okay, for instance, Georgia had built-in wins every season in the SEC East, right? Historically, Max, here in like recent history, what was Georgia's biggest challenge to them in the East when they had divisions? Was it Tennessee? I mean, I know they usually beat the hell out of them. I know they kind of struggled with Missouri a little bit, but Georgia's had, you know, Vanderbilt every season. I hate to say it, Kentucky every season, South Carolina every season, where they knew they were going to have at least 3-4 wins. We're like, okay, we just walk out there and we're going to win the football game. That's not going to be the case anymore now that they've done away with the divisions. Georgia might look up instead of seeing Vanderbilt, they see LSU. Or instead of looking up and seeing South Carolina, they see Texas A&M. They're going to see Oklahoma or whoever. Whatever it is, they're going to see tougher teams down the road. So this idea that the undefeated seasons might be coming to an end might be correct. Same thing with Ohio State. I mean, the Big Ten has been subpar outside of Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, that's all it's been.
I mean, Indiana stinks, Purdue stinks, Maryland stinks, Rutgers stinks. Like, most of those teams stink. Well, now you add Oregon. Now you add Washington. Okay, now we're in business.
Now you add USC.
Now you add USC.
UCLA.
UCLA, exactly.
Now all of a sudden you're having to play in different time zones now.
Yeah. So things
that
get more.
Sense.
You're right. Yo, you're right. We could be done with the. Now, unless Kirby Smart does Kirby Smart things and just gets a super team
it's
like he's
Georgia.
Done before. It's
I mean,
Georgia.
Georgia may be it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you. I mean, honestly, is DeBoer's going to go undefeated at Alabama?
Well, I mean, that was on my sheet of lies here. I mean, one of the things is how is DeBoer doing recruiting at Alabama? I mean, Nick Saban was able
what,
to...
What is he, like five? It's like fifth?
So I think that's the case. Like,
yeah.
Nick Saban was able to go out and just say, hey, you want to play football for Alabama? Yeah, okay, come on, let's go.
Do you know how recruiting in Alabama went? Do you legit know?
No.
You would get a call and say, if you were the number one running back in the country, say, we want to offer you... You have 24 hours to accept the offer or not. If not, we're going to the next person.
Yeah.
That was how getting an official offer from Alabama was.
You have one day.
So one guy, so guys that would be like, that would go to like smaller schools, but they were recruited by Alabama. It was because they missed their window of even accepting the scholarship.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he got an offer for 24 hours.
Yeah, and he had to make the decision to go or not.
Unless you're like a stud. They weren't sticking around for you.
Right. Like Damian Harris, I think they stuck around for him
a little
bit. They
stuck around for Damian
yeah.
Harris because, again,
he was a stud. Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa, they stuck around for.
Yeah. But most of those guys, like, you either accept it or you don't. Now, here's what ESPN says. It says about DeBoer and Crimson Tide and how he's kind of how he's recruiting after Saban. This is really long, so I'm not going to read all of it, okay? But it says here, Nick Saban landed top five classes in 12 of the 13 recruiting classes or cycles from 2012 to 2024. DeBoer conversely never landed a class higher than 28th in two cycles at Washington before taking the Tide job in January. Yes, if there were doubts to Tuscaloosa over his ability to maintain the momentum as an SEC newcomer, operating Saban's wake, DeBoer has provided some early assurances. DeBoer's first recruiting win came with kept five-star receiver Ryan Williams in 2024, also kept top 50 prospects James French and Zion Grady. Okay, so let's see here. It says, all told, Alabama's 2025 class now includes 11 ESPN 300 commits and could continue to grow. The Crimson Tide are still in the mix for visitors. So, I mean, it's going fine, but he's likely on his way to securing his first top five class with the Crimson Tide. So it's not like he just picked up where Nick Saban left off and just went running with it, but he's done enough to continue that top five class, I guess, tradition that Nick Saban has left behind. But 2012
Nick Saban didn't leave a tradition of top five classes. He left a tradition of top two classes.
Well, yeah, that's a good
point.
It
was two.
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah, normally it's one or two.
And it was always a big deal if they were two because it was like, who could absolutely out-recruit Alabama?
Yeah.
So five, I mean, that's a decrease.
That's a decrease. You wonder if the
Tide... Because you're still going to get the best talent, elite talent.
You are.
Still at Alabama. But are you going to get the best every single year now when the coach that you have there now is not Nick Saban?
Right. And like you said, like the article points out, he never got better than 28th at Washington. Now, he was able to put together really good, talented football teams with the talent he had. I mean, I think he struck lightning in a bottle when Michael Penix decided he wanted to transfer and leave Indiana and go to Washington. All of a sudden, he's...
Bro, that's still crazy of just how much Penix was like a baller at Washington.
Yeah.
And Indiana just... did nothing with that.
You know, he was always hurt in Indiana because they couldn't block for him. I mean, the guy showed a flag because I remember, you know, Jack Grossman when he was on the show during Penix's time at IU, and he would show flashes, and Jack would come in and be like, Michael Penix, and we'd like, ha, Michael Penix, oh yeah, right, whatever. But he was always hurt. Like, he could never make it through a season because IU's offensive line was always so bad he'd get hurt, and that's all you hear from him. But no, I do like your thought of the idea of these undefeated teams going to the wayside. And it's going to be interesting against this 12-team playoff because you're not going to – I mean, you're still – look, the teams of the top four are always going to be your best of the best. And then everyone else will figure it out. but it's going to be more difficult to get to that upper echelon now with the way Greg Sankey has now monopolized college football and made it about two conferences. Texter says, is Michigan going to be the last 15-0 team ever? He also stayed hurt in the championship game last year. Yeah, he was injured during that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think so. Georgia, as long as Kirby Smart's at Georgia, I feel like they're going to continue to roll.
Right.
It'll be more difficult for them to be undefeated, but if anyone's going to be able to do it, it's going to be them.
I don't see anyone else that's able to besides Georgia. Like, legit now.
Yeah, because Brian Kelly's been a bit of a disappointment at LSU. He was really good his first year, obviously made it to the SEC Championship, but last year was a disappointment.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was a big disappointment.
He actually had to play in a league.
Right, instead of just being in Notre Dame. But no, first year at LSU, they did pretty good. Last year, they took a big step back, even though they had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
But you look at the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon and Washington hid behind the entire Pac-12. Now, last year, the Pac-12 had a really good season.
It was a really good Pac-12 season.
Good Pac-12 season.
A lot of good teams.
It's like still wasn't compared to like a gauntlet, like in not really the Big Ten, but
the SEC, yeah,
or even ACC. ACC was really good last year. I would still argue that like a Texas hit behind the Big 12.
Yeah,
who'd they play against?
Oklahoma. Yeah,
same. It was the exact same scenario with the Big Ten. It was Ohio State and Michigan. Those were the only two big teams.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, every single year now you're having to play even the mid-tier teams. Again, it goes back to what you said about how good is the team based off of the record.
Yeah.
A 7-5 SEC team is different than a 7-5 Big 12 team.
Sure. I agree with that.
The talent level, the aggression of that team, and also the environment that you're playing in is much different. Texas and Oklahoma are anomalies in college football when it comes to just the atmosphere. Because, again, it's just Texas. Texas is just...
They're football crazy. Oklahoma's football crazy.
Exactly. But you look at when you go into Tennessee at night, you go into the swamp or Death Valley at night,
yeah,
and you're dealing with that humidity. I sound like someone from the Midwest. It's that humidity that gets you.
The humidity gets you in the South.
But you play in the swamp at a 3:30 game, and it is mid-September, early September.
Yeah.
That's a different sun that you're probably used to instead of that dry heat. I mean, there are so many elements, especially for a Power 5 team, to play. Again, these are all new environments that they're playing in. You should still be a good enough player to overcome that.
Sure.
But still, an entire season to where I've never been to any of the away games I'm going to.
Yes.
Like, it was different for, like, when I started traveling and playing, and the first time going to every single place on their own, it's like I had no idea how to even get into a rhythm and kind of just get into my routine as a player. Now I went to all those places again in 2014, and I was like, okay, I know exactly what to do. Like, I can get my routine down a little bit. So now you've got veteran players, it's like, okay, I'm gotta kind of figure out a new routine,
right?
On something like this,
sure. Like, I mean, Texas. Let me look at their schedule this year and see where they're going in the SEC, because they did go to Bama last year and win, and that was one of the reasons, you know, they were propelled, ultimately to the national championship game. That was seen as probably the best regular season win in the country. So let's see here. I mean, they're playing at Michigan week two. That's gonna be awesome. God, I can't wait till football. Man, I can't wait till football. They got a kind of a cupcake schedule, bro. By SEC standards. All right, they play Mississippi State in Texas. Of course, they play Oklahoma in Texas. Okay, it's Mississippi State. They should blow out. Oklahoma's a rivalry. Who knows? Then they get Georgia, but they get Georgia at home. They get Georgia in Austin. So that's kind of a gift there. They have to go to at Vanderbilt, get Georgia at home, at Arkansas.
So everything I said about the 7-5 teams and like new environments, forget about that for Vandy.
Exactly. They get Tech, then they get Kentucky at home, then they go to Texas A&M to renew that rivalry. So I mean, their home, their away SEC games, I mean, at Texas A&M, okay, yeah, that'll be loud. That'll be tough. At Arkansas, that shouldn't be that bad. And at Vanderbilt, it's not going to be bad. So they didn't get that tough of an SEC schedule to start things off.
Greg Sankey giving them a honeymoon phase.
He did, man.
He doesn't want to lose that Texas money up front.
Let's see if he did the same thing with Oklahoma. Let's see if he did the exact same thing with Oklahoma. I'm curious here if he treated Oklahoma the way he treated Texas and see how old Brent Venables. All right, so their away games. Let's see here. They go at Auburn. Okay, it's a little tougher. At Ole Miss, that's tougher. At Missouri and at LSU, yeah, Oklahoma didn't get the sweetheart kiss. they did not get the sweetheart kiss. They don't go to LSU. Missouri should be. It's not an intimidating place to play. That place is garbage.
It's awful.
But it's going to be a good. There'll be a good team. And then at Auburn is going to be rowdy. At Ole Miss is going to be rowdy.
And LSU's
going to be nuts.
I don't think Oklahoma's ever seen anything like LSU
that. That's different. No. And they get Alabama at home. And Tennessee at home. Yeah, they didn't get the kiss of the schedule. Texas got a kiss, bro. Texas got a little booty pat from old Greg Sankey. He's like, come on in here, Sark. Come
Greg
on in
Sankey
here, buddy.
Got a new lake house or a new new vehicle.
He has a gold bolo that he's going to be wearing around. he got a gold bolo tie from Sarkisian. But yeah, that's all kinds of interesting. How Oklahoma kind of got the shift, and Texas is like, here you go, Texas. Here you go, Longhorns. All right, texture. The swap used to be wild.
It used to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
We own it now.
What's their coach's name? That bum.
Billy Napier.
Yeah, Billy Naps. Texture, Michigan closed the season with 5 top 10 wins. Yeah, they did. No, Michigan, as bad as their early season. As bad as their early season record, or not record, but schedule was, it picked up the back end there. I'm not taking anything away from Michigan. No, like I
that
said,
was a, that was
a damn good
team.
Football team.
We're about to be like 5 years away from when Florida reaches that Miami status where it's like, I think it's this year. They're going to be back, guys. Because by the
exactly
timetable,
right.
Like.
I mean, they have not had
a good team in a while.
Well, I mean, it seems like each year, because it's followed the same trend. Whoever is the head coach there, from McElwain to Dan Mullen, Billy Napier, but with those two guys, Will Muschamp, they went to the SEC championship their first year.
Yep. And then
and
did nothing
just,
after that.
Just derailed after that.
Jim McElwain.
Dude, I never tell my sources, so you could say I'm lying or not, but
I got a full
10-minute story on Jim McElwain from someone who is very close to him.
Yeah.
Well, used to be close to him, but he says he's like one of the worst people ever he's ever met.
Really?
Yeah. He said that
worse than Bobby P.
I think it's pretty up there. It's pretty up
there. That's impressive.
But the whole shark thing.
Yeah.
That's real.
That's him? I knew that was him. And he tried to tell me it was Jimmy John.
Wait, what's the shark thing? What is going on here?
Have you never seen the shark picture?
No. Suppose allegedly it's Jim McElwain naked laying on top of a dead shark on a boat.
On a boat. You've never seen that picture, Tanner?
No. Google it.
Yeah, Jim McElwain shark. And then tell me that's not Jim. He would like cry when people brought it up.
Yeah.
He would weep. He'd be like, stop it.
I mean, you would too if you got caught.
If I got caught, absolutely. If
with
I
your
got
pants
caught
down with a shark.
Exactly. Naked with a shark. Absolutely, I'm going to be bummed about it. I'm going to cry too. But I think it was Anna. She's like, no, that's the Jimmy John's guy. And so I looked at the Jimmy John's guy. He's gained a lot of weight since he started Jimmy John's. It kind of looks like he and Jim McElwain look very fit, similar. But I kept looking back. I'm like, no, man, that's Jim. Because Jimmy John is kind of a weirdo, crazy person. He'd been like, yeah, that's me. Because he's like a big game trophy hunter or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's definitely him.
Yes. Thank you.
Completely
so you know, you can't reveal your source, which I totally understand.
They told me. That it is
and they
him
know him
the
on a, they know him on a personal
they,
level.
They know him at a very personal level.
And he was the dude.
One of the first things I see is did Jim McElwain bone a shark?
See, you guys are fools. That's Jimmy John. See, but Max is saying it's not. Max is saying he knows somebody that knows Jim McElwain personally, and it's Jim McElwain. I'm going to side with Max here. I've always thought it was McElwain. I'm going to say it's McElwain.
This dude has not been wrong on anything.
Okay.
Now, he's never gotten into the gossip the gossip magazine racks before, but
the gossip magazine, National Enquirer.
I will say it does kind of look like the Jimmy John's guy, but that's definitely McElwain.
That's McElwain. That's definitely him. I agree.
It's the buck teeth. It's the chipmunk teeth.
The teeth. Yes, the teeth give away. Teeth. And McElwain was also. I mean, there is evidence that he's a jerk because he did let an old dude from Michigan on his staff at Eastern Michigan and scout out teams. He talked to the guy and everything, let him on the sidelines.
So there's another element to that. Is there the amount of, because again, how did all these teams, like this dude, get onto every team sideline?
Yeah,
do you know
Connor Stallions?
Connor Stallions. Do you know how
favorite player or person?
Yes. Do you know how many, like, tags, like badges you have to wear on a sideline?
Oh, I'm sure plenty.
It's like five.
Yeah.
And they're constantly checked.
Yeah.
So you're telling me this dude was able to get five clearances to get to the sideline? Without help from all these schools?
Right.
So then you start looking into possibly some coaching tree
collusion
stuff.
Collusion.
Why do you think Michigan got so adamantly quiet over the whole process? Because if you appealed that... Guess what? That's open investigation.
Everybody else is going down.
Everything's up for game.
Everybody's going down.
So it wasn't just the moral of the story was it wasn't just Michigan. Because remember, all these coaches, as much as we may not like Drinkwitz and Stoops are really good buddies. They're beach buddies.
They are.
All these
coaches.
That guitar
video, though, was.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, God. I want to throw up.
I hate him for doing that to me.
Oh, looking at that. He tagged you in that, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And I was just like, man, we lost to that.
That dude
threw a fake punt that everyone knew was going to be a fake punt.
Everybody knew. And Kentucky let it happen.
The gunner on punt, that's 7'37", is going to be the gunner on punt?
Yeah. What?
Is I okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call safe.
Maybe we should watch out for the fake. And we didn't. And that was another game last season that they lost that they should not have lost.
All the momentum, 14 points.
Yeah. Gone. Done.
Special teams blunders by Kentucky created a Sugar Bowl winning Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Think about that. Or was it Cotton Bowl? Regardless.
Cotton Bowl.
Regardless. Kentucky's ineptness created a New Year's Six win for Missouri.
Eli Drinkwitz got a New Year's Six win before Stoops. Oh, let that sink in. Oh, It was such a fun show. It was a fun show for a while until we came to that realization.
We saved Shane Beamer also. Just add more fuel to the fire.
More fuel to the fire. At least we need Vanderbilt.
And what's his name? Bobby Hill owns us in Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Josh Heupel.
It has not been a cash money type of couple years.
It hasn't. It says here, Deaky Wits and Buttermilk Beach Buddies put it on a t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Texture, Max just made me throw up. Texture, Michigan bums. The Big Ten is fake juice. Read off those last four or five games. T-Rash. They won the national title. What else can they do? I mean, they conquered everybody.
They made Bama look stupid.
Looked
like super stupid.
And you knew it was over because Nick Saban wasn't even like mad. He's like, you know what? This is it. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, these dudes don't care.
That was without doubt the greatest coaching job of Nick Saban because that team had no, like. That team should not have been in the playoff.
They shouldn't have been. Now,
because I did say on air several times, I called a lot of people idiots over it, said, well, Florida State should have been in. No, they shouldn't
Georgia
have.
Georgia should have been.
Georgia should have been in, but Alabama deserved it because they beat the national champion to get in.
They did.
But they got to that position because of Nick Saban's coaching.
Yes.
100% it was.
Oh, absolutely. It was Nick Saban.
But it was on full display of just like, oh, my goodness, the Rose Bowl. Alabama's never played with this type of pressure before.
Well, then they... I just can't believe Nick Saban quit without winning a national championship again. That's the only thing that surprised me. I thought he'd try to get one more, but good for him for saying, you know what, I can't deal with this NIL stuff. I'm out.
He saw that College Game Day offer, and he's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'll do this.
He's making more money.
Yeah, making more money at College Game Day.
Double.
That's crazy.
The money.
He took the job of the guy. I don't know his name. It was during the halftime of TCU versus Georgia, the championship.
Yeah.
Where he goes like, yeah, like, doesn't it seem like Georgia's like taking over college football, like to Nick Saban? And then that guy got fired like last season. And then, of course,
David Pollack.
Yeah, David Pollack. And then Saban just took his job. So it was like, haha, you
take that. And Saban always wins.
Anyone that's ever had a really old dog and they bought a new dog, that's what they're basically doing to Lee Corso right now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's sad. But he eventually...
I think they're going to allow Lee Corso to be able to... Because he needs to make the call when he's done.
I'm with it. I think that should be the way it goes. He has earned that right to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore, but let him do it on his terms.
Exactly.
I'm with
you. And
him.
I think they've been very good of it, of just like just not getting him in front of the camera as much, but letting him be able to go out there.
Do the picks, get the headgear out. He's not on the entire show anymore.
No.
I mean, which is the smart thing to do. Texas said, I was at the Mizzou game and was sick. All caps.
When I tell you, I was screaming from the concourse. I was screaming fake.
I believe, yeah.
Screaming fake. And my dad's just going, what do you mean? Wait, it's going to be a fake? It's going to be fake? I'm just like, fake, fake, fake. And they ran it. I slammed my hat down and just walked away.
Dad's like,
I was just like, I cannot believe it.
Son, you left your hat. Just so you know.
And the great father that he is, he was just holding my hat when I came back after I had my temper tantrum.
Absolutely.
So mad.
He's like, I remember these temper tantrums.
Yes.
All right. On the other end, we'll wrap up the show. We'll talk Chuck Schumer grilling burgers and a few more things here on the roundtable. Don't forget play-by-play A&M versus Kentucky, 6:40 p.m. ESPN 680, 105.7 in the winner's bracket for the College World Series. Celtics versus Mavs, 7:30 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And if you're itching for some Reds baseball, they're back tomorrow, baby. Reds at Pirates, 6:10 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7 and College World Series Game 10, 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Oh my goodness, it's Cardinal Max.
You're listening to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the show here on ESPN Louisville, ESPN 680, 105.7. We have all your additional local programming. Wednesdays, Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville. Thursday, Soccer City, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Friday, Inside Churchill Downs, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Saturday, Down the Stretch, 9 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And then right after that, the Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Licey, 10 to 11 on 93.9 The Ville and James Black. And then Sunday, wrap it all up with the Sunday Morning Hangover, Nick Curran, Phil the Thrill Baker, and Zach Cantrell, 10 to noon, ESPN 680, 105.7. And just as a special announcement, I'd like to go ahead and welcome our new partners here on the roundtable, and that's Thompson Brothers Plumbing. That's right, Thompson Brothers Plumbing is going to be part of what we do here, a local company I actually know the Thompson brothers very well. They've been in my home. They've been in some coaches' home here around Louisville. They'll do the smallest job, the biggest job, and they're looking for licensed professional plumbers. So here in the next couple of days, we'll have some more details about what they're looking for and how you can reach them. But they have so much going on. They have so many jobs. They're so busy. They need more workers, and they have great job opportunities for you. So there'll be more about them down the line. I just want to say thank you and welcome to the Thompson Brothers Plumbing. So there we go. Thompson Brothers Plumbing, new part of the roundtable in our family of local businesses here at ESPN Louisville. All right. Now, here we go. Chuck Schumer. So yesterday was Father's Day, okay? And everyone was celebrating.
Everyone's being normal.
Everyone's being normal. And people are posting pictures. Like, Chuck Schumer, if you don't know, he's majority leader of the United States Senate, okay? So that's who he is. If those of you, he's a politician. He's 73 years old. He's a very old man. I posted some pictures on Father's Day. I'm sure, you probably saw some yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Dad's enjoying their family in the pool, drinking the beer, a new shirt mom gave them, grilling some hot dogs or some ribs that's fine. It's fine. Just looking normal, as you said, looking normal. Last night, Chuck Schumer, majority leader of the Senate, decided, we're going to do on Father's Day? We're going to do a photo op. You hear me? Instead of enjoying time with the family, we're going to do a photo op here, and we're going to show all the little people, all the small folk out there, that me, Chuck Schumer, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. You know what I like to do on Father's Day, Max? I like to grill some hot dogs and some cheeseburgers. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I grilled last night, too. It was delicious. It was fantastic. But what was wrong with the photo? A lot. You can tell that Chuck Schumer has never grilled a damn thing in his life. You know how you can tell that? Number one, the hamburger patties that he's grilling don't have any seasoning on them whatsoever. They look bland. Number two, they're gray. Have you ever seen a gray hamburger patty? And three, they're raw. And it's not a problem if they're raw if you just put them on the grill. They're supposed to be raw, right? No. He has a piece of sliced American cheese on a raw burger patty.
He has 2 to 3 slices of cheese on this burger.
Oh, there's 2 or 3.
I'm looking at the picture right now.
Wait a minute. And that's even worse. Hold on a second. He has three slices of cheese on this raw burger. Do you not see two layers
on that? At least 2 layers.
He put 2 pieces of cheese on a raw burger.
What an idiot.
But you know what he's doing? They look like those pre-frozen burgers. You know what I'm talking about? But so here's what he did.
It looks like a Bubba Burger.
Yeah, exactly. Bubba Burger. He took a Bubba Burger because he doesn't know, or one of his handlers, or one of his little minions.
These are not hand padded.
No, he thawed out a frozen burger because he doesn't know what he's doing. You're not supposed to thaw them out. You're supposed to just throw them on the grill. You don't thaw them out. And he thawed out frozen burgers like 3 days ago. Or his secretary or his administrator, or somebody in his little circle, and said, "You know what, Chuck? It's election season. We need to connect to the people. Do you know how to connect to the people? You act like the people." Chuck Schumer doesn't know how to act like a person. He's a reptilian. He's not a person. He's a reptile. Okay. He's from the draconian system.
All the more reason for him to eat a raw cheeseburger. Because that's just what reptiles eat.
Exactly. They eat raw meat. Exactly. So he's actually, in his mind, his reptilian brain, he's doing the right thing because this is what they eat. This is what they eat on the reptile planet. He's a shape-shifting
reptilian.
He
doesn't even know how to smile. Like,
he can't even smile
Why can't any politician, and not to just bully Chuck Schumer, they're all like this.
Exactly. This isn't a right thing or a left thing. No, they're all like this. They're like all this. Weird. Mitch McConnell has never grilled a burger in his life. I'm telling you that right now. I mean, how do the poors eat? This is what the poors do on Father's Day. Do the poors grill? Then that's what I want to do, because I wanted to make sure that the poors know that they have someone just like them in office. Like, BS, bro. You don't. The poors know how to grill a damn cheeseburger. We might not be millionaires. We might not live in mansions or whatever the hell you live, but I can grill an effing cheeseburger, okay? I got that over you, Chucky boy. You can manipulate the stock market, but you can't grill a cheeseburger. How about that?
It's, dude, like, every single time, all of them, like, anyone at the federal level, anyone at the federal level,
Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter.
They don't know how to act like normal people.
They don't.
And I don't understand what feedback they're getting that they think every single, because it's not just grilling. It's any photo op.
Any photo op,
any
man.
Any single photo op. They do the exact same
Ron
thing.
Ron DeSantis was a disaster in his campaign because he didn't know how to smile.
He looked, it was like, if you liked his policies, if you liked his policies, and then you see him up there in a debate, or you see him up there during Iowa, it's like, what are you doing?
Are you a robot? What is wrong with you?
Who taught you how to smile? What in the world are you doing?
Or when Trump drank the water, and he had the cup when he had both hands, and he kind of like weirdly, awkwardly moved around, then he drank the water cup with both hands. It's stuff like that. It's like, why are y'all weird?
Exactly.
What is wrong with you all?
And it's like, dude, it's like, you know, Biden. It's like his obsession with ice cream. It's like, dude, shut up. The economy's a shambles. I don't care if you like chocolate chip. Please stop everything. Stop the inflation from keep going up.
Yeah.
It's like, but every single time they do it on Twitter. And I don't know what makes me – I don't know what just makes me even more heated is they think, oh, I'm going to post this picture of me, especially, gosh, the campaign videos where they're out on a farm. And
yeah.
With the farmer.
Right.
And he's in a brand new pair of jeans with new pair of boots.
Exactly.
And a new vest. It's always a zipped up vest.
Leaning on a fence post. Wooden fence post.
I'm an outsider. Or it's like, yeah. I tote the establishment.
Yeah, I'm a maverick.
I'm a Kentuckian or an Ohioan just like you. It's everything. I don't know what's worse. Is Chuck Schumer putting cheese, two layers of cheese, on a raw cheeseburger that's obviously a Bubba burger that he did not hand pat himself?
No.
Or the amount of people that fell for it every single time and like, oh my goodness, he's just like me. Happy
hey,
Mother's
look, honey.
Day.
Look, honey, Chuck Schumer's grilling. Guess what I'm doing later? I'm grilling too. Oh.
They see Ron DeSantis eat a hot dog of some bum joint in Florida. Like, oh my goodness, he's eating a corn dog just like me.
I eat corn dogs too. I'm going to vote for him because he eats corn dogs.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin,
yes!
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Dean, let's go.
Just they're all the same.
It's
they're
so sad.
All the same.
And
Ted Cruz is like that.
Oh yeah.
What's his name? The senator from Florida. He ran for Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio.
Cringy.
They're all cringy people. Yes.
He gets out there with his awkward dumpy doughy body with a baseball with a baseball bat. It's like, I love baseball. It's like, dude, you don't. It looked like you got hit with a baseball when you were four from T-ball because you're that unathletic.
Yeah.
You're like, this is not for me.
Have you ever seen the photo of Chris Christie
at, oh, absolutely.
During his like celebrity softball game?
He's dressed in a softball uniform.
Oh, it, man.
It's a great picture. It's like, you didn't have to do that, Chris Christie. Like, we know you're not normal human like we are. We understand that you live on a different stratosphere than
we do. Like, it's like with corporations. It's the exact same thing. It's like, we're just like you all. We're concerned as well in these uncertain times or whatever
it
is.
The
it's like,
BS.
Can you just make the prices cheaper?
That's
like,
all
can
I want.
You just make a better product?
Yeah.
It's like Boeing. It's like, we understand how air travel works. It goes, can you make the Boeing planes not suck?
Can you make the Boeing planes not explode? There it is. He's got...
Oh my gosh.
If you've never seen Chris Christie in a baseball uniform, go to Google right now
and look it up.
And look it
this
up.
Has been a lot of just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it type stuff.
But
But yeah, Boeing, just make your airplanes not fall out of the sky. That's exactly all you need. That's all we need. Don't tell me how much you're like me. Just make your product good.
If someone's got a beef with you, don't kill them.
Yeah, don't assassinate people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a very easy process. It's the same thing with politicians. How do I get them to like me? Make the country better. Do that. It's a shocking idea, I know. I think my poll numbers will go up if I decide to go for a hike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, I don't care if you hike or you grill. Look, if you're a rich, pretentious jerk, that's fine. If you don't grill out, that's fine. If you just order takeout for everything or go to a fancy restaurant every night, I don't care. That's fine. Just make the country better. I don't give a damn. I don't need to have a beer with you. That's the thing I hate the most, too. I sit down and I have a beer with George W. Bush. Why? I don't care about having... I don't want to drink a beer with George W. Bush. I just want him to make my life better.
Genocide. Just, it's like, no, I don't want a beer with that.
I don't want to be... No, exactly. I don't want to drink a beer with you. I just don't want you to start more wars. Exactly. How about that? How about you don't send my kids overseas to fight in Ukraine or something like that. Just don't grill a cheeseburger. Don't go and fight other countries and start wars with Russia, for God's sake. Just freaking stop. Like, stop it. I don't give a damn if you're relatable. Just don't kill people. That's it. Don't kill people and make things cheaper. That's the number one and number two thing we want in this country. Don't kill people and make things cheaper. That's it. That's the list. I don't know about your bowling score. I don't know if you go to amusement parks. I don't know about any of that crap. Just don't kill people and make things cheaper. Period. God. I knew this would get us going.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that picture last night, I was like, that's a topic that'll last at least 15 minutes.
Oh, and at least.
At least. We could have gone longer.
Oh, my gosh.
If we didn't go longer than the previous segment, we can't. All right, let's read some text and get out of here. Texter, I could have gone without seeing that photo. Well, I'm sorry. I understand. I do apologize for that. Texter, the exception is George W. with the strike at the first pitch after 9/11. No, it's not an exception.
That's not a photo.
I don't care if he, and I don't care if he can throw a strike. Don't start wars. Period. I'm not looking at that. Texter, you've heard how televising the debates is what led to Kennedy beating Nixon, because Nixon just looked super weird. Yeah, he looked super weird. He was awkward. Kennedy was handsome. He was well spoken. He's able to go out there and everyone's like, wow, that guy's cool. That guy's weird.
There's a great polling on that also. They polled people who listened to it on radio and they said Nixon won. But everyone, it was like 60% thought Nixon won.
Yeah.
But when they watched it on TV, 90% said that Kennedy won it.
Yeah.
It's a wild stat.
Wild. Last one. Texter, even grill master Rick Bozich is disgusted with Schumer. And Texter, no, we're not watching Fox News. It might be on Fox News right now. I saw this on Twitter last night. As I was sitting on my deck doing my own grilling, I saw that and was disgusted. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks, Max Godby. Fun show today. Tomorrow, I have Anna Trullo back at it. And who knows what other shenanigans we'll have. Texter, greatest summer show ever. Thank you very much. It's the Roundtable, ESPN 680 105.7.